When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Patrick Allen here with you, as always, on a Thursday, heading into the evening hours, and we're here to talk a little bit of Chiefs. First of all, thank you to all of our members, who I see many of you out there already in the chat. Got a good show coming up for you today. No Verderam today, he'll be on next week. Just me, and we're going to be bringing on Lyle Graverson. If you have not, Lyle's been on the show a few different times in the past, but if you're reading Arrowhead Addict, or if you're not reading Arrowhead Addict, you need to make sure you're there at least on Mondays to read Lyle's column every single week. It's always just a must column for years, going all the way back to when I was running the site back in the Stone Age. So I'm really excited to have Lyle on. Lyle's a big draft guy. He really knows his stuff. So just like when we have Price Carter on, I'm going to rely on the experts here. I see Evan in the chat says, really enjoyed Lyle's piece on wide receivers. Some of the best I've seen, I think. Yeah, we're going to go through that one with a fine-tooth comb in this episode. I'm really excited to talk to him about that one in particular. And then we're going to talk about this debate that has been, if you've been following me on Twitter, been chatting a little bit with Chiefs fans and fellow colleagues on there about whether or not the Chiefs should trade up. And this is all stemming from an NFL.com article, which I also talked to Lyle about. If you're listening to us on the audio side, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Please leave us a five-star review over at Apple Podcasts. We will read it on the show. And if you ask us a question, we'll answer that on the show too. So always appreciate you audio listeners. I know you'll hear us talk about YouTube and the video and all that stuff and the people in the live chat. We know you're not here with us live, but we love you and we appreciate you. Okay, so, but speaking of the YouTube audience, you may have noticed you can see me a little more clear. I hope that the internet is holding up, but I got a new camera and it is a much better quality camera than the one I had in my built-in display. I think it looks a lot better, but now you can see me in like full HD, which is a good thing or a bad thing, depending on your point of view. So apologies to anybody who wants me to go back to a more grainy look, but we got to keep this thing moving in the right direction. All right, let's and make sure if you're out there, sound off in the chat, going to hit a couple of news items, and I'd love to hear what you all think about these. First one is Nick Bolton. So Nick Bolton, the Chiefs are about to start their organized team activities here in the off season. I believe these first ones aren't mandatory. They're voluntary OTAs. But Nick Bolton was, you know, had some media time. And of course, he is in that last year of his contract. So he's an extension candidate for the Chiefs. If you're a Nick Bolton guy and you would like to see him back on a second contract with the Kansas City Chiefs, the preferable outcome would be that the Chiefs extend him before the season starts or sometime early in the season and lock him in for the foreseeable future. You don't want it to get to the point where we get into the offseason and you got like a whole Chris Jones situation where Nick wants to be paid like X, the Chiefs are only willing to pay Y, and you got all this back and forth and drama and what are the Chiefs going to do? And it goes, you know, franchise tags, all that stuff that you have to worry about. Look, man, here's what Nick Bolton said about a contract extension. He said, it'd be a dream come true if we were to get it done for the foreseeable future. But yeah, I'm just trying to put my best foot forward and help our defense pick up where we left off last year and not regress and try to get better than we were last year. So, I mean, this is a really interesting question. I feel like Nick Bolton is a really interesting player. He's beloved by Chiefs fans. He's a very good player. I see people going back and forth on this. I'm not an expert in linebacker play, okay? I feel like sometimes I look and I see Nick Bolton flying around out there, making tackles, really great instincts. And I'm like, okay, this guy, like he's that dude. Like he's one of the best linebackers in the NFL. And then some games will come by and, you know, whether it's because he's injured or whatever. I feel like he's a little spotty. He's a little slow to the hole. His tackling isn't great. I'm not saying that I think he's a bad linebacker. I just think he's a little inconsistent at times, but I think he's very good. And obviously there's all the other things that go along with the position that he plays. He wears the green dot. He's the quarterback of the defense. He gets everybody lined up. He's really smart. He's got, you know, incredible instincts. I just don't know if he has solidified himself as a household name, best linebacker, like one of the best linebackers in the NFL, to where you're sitting there and his contract is coming up and you're saying, oh yeah, we definitely have to bring him back. So here's, like, you know, I was actually asking the folks in over at Arrowhead Addict, the writers, you know, what they thought Bolton would be worth, and kind of like it was all over the board. Like, you know, one guy thought he thinks he's a top five linebacker. Some other people were like, I kind of like Tranquil a little bit better. So look, if you look at the salaries for linebackers, Roquan Smith is the highest paid linebacker in the league. He makes $20 million a year, $100 million contract. Then you got Fred Warner, and it goes down from there, right? Fred Warner, 19. So like in the chat, I'm going to read these guys, and you let me know when you think Nick Bolton, like if these are rankings of the best linebackers in the NFL, you let me know where you think Nick Bolton slots in between which two guys. Our guy, Stacy, says Bolton will be paid like a top five linebacker, probably just shy of CJ Mosley. So Mosley is kind of in the middle of the pack of these guys. He makes about $8.6 million a year. He's a $17 million contract. So I'm going to go down the line here. Roquan Smith, Fred Warner, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, Patrick Queen. So those are your top five highest paid, not necessarily best, but highest paid. Do you guys think that Nick Bolton is considered within that group of guys? Steve says Bolton isn't close to Warner. Jesus Perez says two rings. Yeah, it's got rings. So I'll keep going. So we did Roquan, Fred Warner, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, Patrick Queen. I don't think Bolton is quite there with like Milano and Warner. Queen, maybe. So here's up. Next up is Azeez Al-Shaahir. He's at a $34 million contract. So we're now at $11 million. And then Zaire Franklin, 10.4. So now we're at $10 million. Steve's saying not close to that group. No way. Josh Clayton says, the thing is, if he wants to be the highest paid, I don't think Casey will pay that. And Steve says, I love Bolton, by the way. Yeah, like that's it, right? Like Bolton, we love him. But is he up there with those guys that I mentioned? I'm not sure. And now you're getting down. Now you're dropping down below $10 million, right? So Logan Wilson, Jordan Brooks, CJ Mosley, like Stacy mentioned, Demario Davis. These guys are at 9, 8, 7, 8, 6, 8, 6. Levante David, 8.5. Dre Greenlaw, 8.2. This is where I think I would feel comfortable signing Nick Bolton. Like if the Chiefs can get him in the $8 to $10 million a year range. And I'm not the cap guy. So like, I don't, you know, I'm just thinking purely on value. I'm not comparing it to like, well, we got to sign Creed. We got to try sign Trey Smith. I mean, that's a different discussion. I feel like he's in that area, in the $8 to $10 million a year area with how he's played. Bumpus says Bolton is average versus the pass. He isn't a $15 to $20 million NFL linebacker. I think I agree with that. Terry McCauley says similar situation to Snead. I mean, I think Snead, based on how he played last year, is better at his position than Bolton is at his. Two totally different things, right? Josh Clayton says linebackers aren't that high impact of a position as they used to be. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. I think it depends on who you're playing, right? There are certain games where you want Nick Bolton out there. You're going against the Bills. You're going against Lamar Jackson, these mobile quarterbacks, running quarterbacks, or a team that likes to run the ball a lot. Like that's what I want Nick Bolton out there for his instincts, hitting the hole, making tackles, getting everybody in the right position. Brian says Bolton needs to work on covering tight ends and running backs on passing downs. Yeah, and look, like Nick Bolton's still a young guy, right? Like he could still get a little bit better. Bumpa says, I honestly don't understand how someone can look at Warner and Bolton and think they can be paid the same, different universe. Steve says, I agree. $7 to $9 million. Unless it stops you from signing a stud elsewhere. And Terry says Snead wasn't worth the top money at his position. My worry about Snead is injuries and and some of those other things. So yeah, look, I mean, when you compare him to some of these guys, Dre Greenlaw, I feel like that's a really good Kenneth Murray, Blake Cashman, CJ Mosley. Like I think that's the tier Nick Bolton is at. But with the results that the Chiefs have had and the fact that he's been starting, he's been the green dot guy, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick and his agent are going for, maybe I'm crazy. I mean, look, the agent's job is to get him as much money as possible. Maybe he's asking for $20 million, you know, top of the market. But like, I feel like they should shoot for Matt Milano, Patrick Queen, like Al Shahir money, 11 to 14. And then, you know, maybe they get 11 and get the Chiefs to budge a little bit. But I just don't think he's up there with those guys.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Okay, next quick news item is Brandon Ayuk. Is he a trade target for the Kansas City Chiefs? Wide receiver over there in San Francisco, former first-round pick. He's in the fifth year of his contract, his fifth year option. He's had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons after I think his first two were like 700 yards apiece. He's been linked to rumors and reports. The Steelers, Ravens are interested. His agent has come out and said, no way, he's not asking for a trade. He doesn't want out of San Francisco. The San Francisco brass said that they want to bring him back. They're not interested in trading him. Our own Matt Connor wrote an article just the other day on arrowheadaddict.com. And he was, you know, he was guessing what he thought IU could want in a contract for his second contract. And Matt guessed $80 million, $55 million guaranteed. That's a lot. Look, man, I know whenever like the Chiefs have a deficit at wide receiver, you want to see better wide receivers. I think there's like a near zero chance, even if he was on the block, which I don't think maybe they're floating him, but I just don't see a world in which the San Francisco 49ers trade him to the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, think this through, right? We already heard that last year, Brett Veach was trying to move up into like maybe the early 20s. And he was looking at receivers and he couldn't do it. Teams just didn't want to trade with the Chiefs. Well, if you think that's going to get any better, after the Chiefs went back to back and have won three Super Bowls in this run, if I was an AFC team, I wouldn't give the Chiefs a bottle of water if they were on fire. Like, I just wouldn't. It wouldn't be in my interest unless the Chiefs were just doing something really stupid. So if you're the 49ers, you have been right there to get Super Bowls. And twice you have been vanquished by Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you going to take a guy that you drafted and developed and trade him to the team you're most likely to run into if you make it back to a Super Bowl? No chance. No chance. Could you imagine if the Chiefs had traded Tyreek Hill to the 49ers or to the Bills? I know they traded him within the AFC, but like, I don't know. I just don't see that. I don't see Brett Veach doing that. So I don't think the 49ers are that dumb either to want to trade a guy like that to the best quarterback in the NFL. And frankly, I'm not sure that that's a move the Chiefs should make anyway. I think the Chiefs need to keep their, and I'm going to talk more about this later when we talk about should the Chiefs trade up in the draft. I think they need to keep their salaries under control, and they didn't pay Tyreek Hill a boatload of money. And I don't think it makes sense to go and trade for a guy like Brandon Ayuk and pay him through the nose, out the nose, however you say that. I mean, like, look, would I like to have him on the Chiefs? 100%. Would I trade assets for him? 100%. He's a very good wide receiver, but I don't think the 49ers are going to do it. Jesus says, what would the 49ers ask for? I mean, I think he's living up to his first round draft stock at this point. So, and he's still really young. So if I'm the 49ers, I'm wanting at least that and probably a little bit more. And then you got to pay him. It just doesn't make sense for the Chiefs. I know it's fun to dream about these and discuss them here in the offseason, but it just doesn't make sense. Stacy's weighing in as well, says with Hollywood Brown in the fold, wide receiver is far less of an issue. I agree. I think, look, Sky Moore's still on the team. You want to try it. Like, you don't want to throw him out. Like, you drafted the guy. I know it hasn't worked out so far, but it doesn't do you any good to write him off for dead. So I keep working on him, and I try to keep bringing in young guys. Develop your own Brandon Ayuk. Get your own guy. DK Metcalf was drafted in the second round. Like, you can find good skill position players in other rounds. You just need to do your homework, and you need to take enough swings. The Chiefs need to keep taking swings in that area. They're not going to get it right every time, but they have to have young, cost-controlled guys, especially at the skill positions, because they can't afford a Tyreek Hill or a Justin Jefferson when you're paying Patrick Mahomes $500 million. All right, we're going to get to Lyle. Before we do, quick note, Chiefs fans, DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport to instantly claim $200 in bonus bets when you sign up with our code Arrowhead. You will receive a no sweat, single game parlay every single day. The best part is that you will get both rewards even if your first bet loses. Using our code Arrowhead not only gets you these bonuses, but it also directly supports our podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use our code Arrowhead to maximize your first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 years and older and physically present in a legal gambling state. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check out the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. We appreciate the support whenever you guys do that. Huge, huge assist. All right, let's get Lyle in here. My guy, Lyle Graverson. Welcome, my man. I was just saying at the top of the podcast, and I know I probably mention this every time you come on, but I'm astounded that you're still writing for Arrowhead Addict, because it's been years, I think, since I've written an article, but it was a long time ago that you and I were both writing over there together, and you're still just doing your thing, man, on Mondays.
Yeah, man. I just love it. It's one of those things where, we're everybody that's here listening to this podcast is a huge Chiefs fan, and I enjoy writing, and I have all these thoughts about the Chiefs, and my wife gets tired of hearing about it from me. And so I just love doing it, man. So yeah, it's a nice outlet for me. I get to spew my thoughts and vent them and get them out every Monday morning. And still doing it since the Matt Cassell era, I believe, wrote my first piece for Arrowhead Addict.
You know, now that I think about it, not me, like not Adam Best, not Zach Best, not the guys who founded the site. I think you're the longest tenured person ever at Arrowhead Addict. I think you've probably written there longer than any anybody else has. You were there before Matt Connor. You certainly outlasted me. Stacy's back on the site, but he took a lengthy hiatus. And I mean, the site started in 2007. I started writing there at the end of 2009. At some point after that, I brought you on board. You're the guy. Like, you're Mr. Arrowhead Addict at this point.
Well, I don't churn out the numbers that some of you guys, you may have churned out more pieces in your time there than I have total, since I just do one a week. But yeah, I am definitely the senior writer and have been for a little while. So yeah. For what that's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. Our guy Stacy in the chat says, Big Lyle. So listen, man, lots to talk to you about already. We were sparring a little bit on Twitter. I've been too busy. You know, I got to be honest with you. I wanted to respond even more to our back and forth about the trade. To everybody, there's a great discussion going on about should the Chiefs trade up and what should they trade up for and who should they trade up for. And I am just so busy with all this baby stuff. So the showers this weekend, right? So like, it's just, man, like I'm getting bleary eyed, like I'm painting. You know, that nesting phase, like you gotta put everything together and paint the nursery and make sure the house isn't falling apart, you know, because you're not going to be able to deal with anything for a while once the baby comes. And it's just like, I just don't have time. Like I get out of work and then I just spend the evenings like doing all that junk.
I hear you, man. And all I'll say is try and enjoy the ride while you can, man, because you're going to blink and my oldest is graduating next month. Yeah. And that just blows my mind because I feel like I was just where you were at like a couple years ago. And now I'm like, we're already planning graduation receptions and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I know that you're going to be hurting for sleep and hurting for spare time, but enjoy the ride, man.
It's look, we're late to the game here. My wife and I we've been married for 11 years and we've been together for 16 years. So I'll turn 41 here in a couple weeks. So this kid, by the time he's all going off to college, I'm going to be planning my retirement party. It's bananas. It is sort of weird. Like I'm looking at like some of the people that I went to college with and stuff, and they have kids that are like, they're going to prom and stuff. And I'm like, ah, geez. you know what though? I figure like what, maybe having waited so long, I'll be a little bit wiser and, maybe a better dad than I would have been back when I was 20 years old. So there's some pluses here, right?
There you go. Yes.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get into this discussion. So the first thing I want to talk to you about before we get into the trade up debate, because we're heading into the draft, we're 1 week away. Before we get into all of it, as we are entering into the draft, what do you think are the Chiefs? And let me know in the chat too what you guys think. Top three positions of need as the Chiefs are heading into the draft for you.
I think the top two are really easy. And then the third one, that's where you could get into a lot bigger debate. I think as the roster stands right now, Rashee Rice situation withstanding, I think you can make a strong case. The biggest need is still left tackle. I'm not in panic mode on that because they showed they could kind of get by with an average NFL, just kind of replacement level guy there with Donovan Smith, and he's still out there. But in terms of like, all right, if this was the roster, where are the biggest holes if we had to play a game next week? I think left tackle is the biggest. But I still think wide receiver's right there. Like, yeah, they signed Hollywood Brown, but long term, like if you fast forward 1 year, assuming even if Rice misses games with a suspension this year, he's really the only guy you can count on next year. Hollywood's under a 1 year deal. If he does great, he's going to want a big payday. If he doesn't do great, then are you really, is it a big deal if you bring him back? So you've got one guy and an aging Travis Kelce who knows when he's ready to, you know, ride off into the sunset and do more kind of like celebrity. He's hosting a game show now and traveling the world with Taylor Swift, and more power to him. Yeah. But how much future is there as being like a go-to guy for Mahomes? And so I think you've got to just start really replenishing that wide receiver room. And I think they felt like they had taken steps towards that, doing that going into next season, and it just didn't work. I mean, they still miraculously won the Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the defense, but I think Brett Veach, if he was here and being completely honest, he would be like, oh, yeah, our wide receiver plan last year just completely flopped. Like, it completely failed. And now we're kind of trying to retool as we go. And I think Rice can still be a permanent long-term part of that. But after that, you've got nothing. So I think wide receiver has to be right there with tackle. And then, again, you could make an argument for interior offensive line because financially you can't, I don't think you can pay Tooney and Creed and Trey Smith. Like, you just can't have them all with big contracts on the books. So you're going to have to get some depth there. I still don't like our defensive tackle depth after Chris Jones. So I think you could make a strong case as defensive tackle. Depending on what they think with a Minnehue, I know they brought back Dana, but I still think you could put Edge in the discussion too. Some people may argue corner with Sneed gone. I still think they could play with the corners they have now. So, honestly, I think another usable running back that you would feel good about putting out there is up there on the list too. So I know I'm like not giving a good answer for the third spot, but I think it's kind of a take your pick for that third spot with wide receiver and left tackle way out in the lead for the top two spots.
Yeah. I agree that we got some great chats as well. Kevin said offensive tackle, wide receiver, interior offensive line. Josh Clayton said defensive tackle, wide receiver. Lucas says offensive tackle and wide receiver are top two, then defensive tackle. And Stacy as well, tackle, wide receiver, defensive tackle. Matt Connor's like, all he wants is a damn defensive tackle for the Chiefs. He's been talking about it for years. By the way, just real quick before we move on here, somebody in the chat, I didn't see, I can't remember who. I think this was in reference to back when we were talking about the fact that I've got a baby coming, they said, and I quote, "Sterling, you're going to be so tired." And I just want to say, my hair is pretty high today. So I can see, and maybe it's just the new HD camera, but anytime y'all want to mistake me for Sterling, who is 10 years younger than me and far better looking, please have at it. This is a big like win for me and a huge L for Sterling simultaneously. So yeah, I agree with you guys. Like, tackle has me, it had me worried last year, just because I wasn't sure about Juwan Taylor, and Donovan Smith had not played well in previous couple of years. And of course, he had been dealing with an injury. I'm with you. And you know, it's funny when I think back about the wide receiver thing, when we were heading into last year, like I was not worried about wide receiver. Maybe I should have been, maybe I was naive, but I was looking at it and I was like, okay, I expected Sky Moore to take another step forward in his second year. Like, I was like happy, like reasonably happy with how he performed as a rookie. I was like, okay, this is fine. We won the Super Bowl. You know, he got out there a little bit. And then Kadarius Toney, I was excited because I obviously you see the talent, and I'm like, okay, a whole offseason with the Chiefs training staff and he's going to go to training camp and all that stuff. He's going to benefit from that. And then you added Rashee Rice to that. You've got Travis Kelce. You bring back MVS. Like, I think it's easy for us to look back at how the Chiefs constructed that room last year and be like, wow, Brett Veach really screwed the pooch. Like, that what a disaster. But like going into the season, it seemed like it might be not just decent, but like pretty deep. And it turned out to be none of those things. It just like, if just one more thing would have worked out, right? If MVS didn't go off a cliff, or if Tony had worked out, or Sky Moore had taken that step forward, they would, I think they would have been fine most of the season. And it really took all of those things falling apart for them to be in the position that they were. And then plus they had to wait for Rashee Rice to develop. And I think lost in the criticism of how that turned out for the Chiefs is that they actually did a really tremendous job bringing Rashee Rice along. Like, this is a second round pick, comes out, gets you 1,000 yards, like, and helps you win a Super Bowl. I mean, that, you know, Andy doesn't like to play rookie wide receivers, period. You could take one overall, you'd probably bench him for half the year. So I look back on that and think it was a little bit of maybe poor planning in terms of like, you should have been maybe able to see the MVS was slowing down and you should have been more cautious about Tony. But on the other hand, a little bit of bad luck too. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And I would not say Brett Veach had a bad plan going into the season. It just didn't work. I mean, sometimes you lay out a bunch of things and go, okay, this is what we're going to go with. And it makes sense on paper. And then it just doesn't work. And I think that's last year. And I think nobody's a bigger Andy Reid fan than I am. Like, one of the greatest coaches in NFL history, as far as I'm concerned. But if you were going to say one position over the tenure of his, not only time in Kansas City, but just his head coaching career period, the one position he hasn't necessarily always developed like he has other areas is wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at he's great. Like every quarterback he's ever worked with, I think, becomes the best version that quarterback is capable of being. And it feels like he's had good offensive line coaches and done really well developing offensive line talent. And pretty much any running back that you put back there as the feature back has success. Wide receivers, he's often had to bring in hired guns because the guys that they've drafted have, I mean, you can count them. It's pretty much DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Tyreek Hill, and now maybe Rashee Rice. You know, you're talking a over 20-year head coaching career. I just named four guys. I mean, he just hasn't drafted and developed a ton of wide receivers. And that's part of the reason sometimes prospects that need a lot of development but have show these raw tools make me a little nervous. And if you look at my rankings, I've got some guys lower than other people would. And part of that's just my take on them, period. But part of it's my take on specifically for KC, especially if we want somebody that can contribute right away. You know, I don't know that that's the area where necessarily he always hits a home run with, like, we're going to turn this guy into the best version he's capable of being. They've done it a few times, and credit to him, like you just said with Rice, they brought him along and he was looking fantastic by the end of the year. One of the best rookie seasons, I think, an Andy Reid rookie wide receiver has ever had. But it's not a long track record like it is some of the other positions for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll see how it plays out. The Chiefs aren't usually going to be in the position now with Patrick Mahomes where they can take a slam dunk wide receiver. So whether it's the wide receiver coach, like the personnel, like they do need to figure out how to nail that more often than not, either in the draft or in development. One real quick question for you. It's something I posed in the Discord with our members last night. And I just think it's a really interesting question. If you could turn back the clock on one person on the Chiefs, so I'm going to include Andy in this as well, or any other coach, Spags, and make them 22 again. So any player, Kelsey, 22, just in an effort to extend their career. And I think there are some obvious ones here, but I actually think it gets quite interesting. Who would it be? You can wave your magic wand one time. They're going to be 22 and they would play the length of their career, like however long. So if Kelsey plays till he's 39, like you can wave your magic wand, he'll become 22 again and he will play until he's 39. But he'll continue on with his current trajectory. Like who would it be? I'm seeing Kelsey, Chris Jones. What about Mahomes? I mean, like, who would you pick? Andy, 22-year-old Andy?
Honestly, I might go Andy. If I can wave a magic wand right now and ensure that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are just together for Patrick Mahomes' entire career. Like, we've seen that, like, it just works. Like, those two together are just like the perfect combination. So honestly, if I could pick anybody on the current roster, or and look, if I can go back all time, then that's maybe another story. But
yeah,
because if you could throw like a Derek Thomas on this team at 22, that would just be like, I don't know that I could turn that down.
Yeah, just has to be the
childhood fan in me. But but I think if Andy's in that conversation, then I think I'm going Andy. But if you took coaches out and made me go with a player, I mean, I think I'm probably joining most of the people in the comments. I think Kelce, again, if you could put a young, energetic Kelce with Mahomes for the next 10 years, like I don't know. I think maybe I sign up for that right now.
Yeah, it's first. That was what it was like for me. It was like, oh yeah, first I was just positing as like players. And I'm like, yeah, it's got to be Kelce, right? Because he's so great and he's at the end of his career. But then I thought, like, man, like, shouldn't I do Patrick Mahomes? Like, we've won 3 Super Bowls and the dude's 28. Like, if I mean,
honestly, that's a good answer too. You know, I can't argue with that. That's a good take too.
I love Travis and I want more Travis, but that, like, the two most impactful people when it comes to this era of the Chiefs, in my opinion, are Mahomes. And then I thought Andy made it even more of an interesting discussion, because Andy, if you make Andy 22, you've effectively got 50 more years of Andy Reid coaching the Kansas City Chiefs, which you're going to win a lot of games. Seeing some interesting ones in the chat. Josh Clayton says Mahomes. Stacy said it's Reid, but then he said if you're doing a player, it's Kelce. I see some people throwing out some Chiefs legends. This is not a retroactive legends one. They have to be on the team right now. Although that's always another fun discussion I like to have. Who would you put on the team? Derek Thomas, Jamal Charles, like if you could pick one player. It's really fascinating, fun discussion. I'm meaning to tweet that out and see what everybody thinks. Okay, we got to get on to some stuff, but that's a fun one. Okay, so the trade-up debate. So there was an article on NFL.com that was doing kind of crazy potential trade scenarios. And this one had the Chiefs trading with the Bears at pick number 9, which they're using the trade chart. That's 1,350 points. So the Chiefs get pick number 9, and the Chiefs would, in this scenario, would give up their 2024 first, that's number 32 overall, their 2024 second, that's number 64, their 2024 fourth, number 131, and their 2025 first round pick, which is they valued it valued at the 24th pick in that round. We all know there's no way that Chiefs are probably going to be picking 24th unless something happens that we don't want to talk about. So that's a lot. Two firsts, a second, a fourth, and you're giving up your first and second round picks in this draft. So you're going from having 3 picks in the top 100 if you're the Chiefs to just 1, and that's in the third round. And the suggested people that the Chiefs trading up for were Romo Dunze or Brock Bowers, the tight end. Romo Dunze, of course, the wide receiver. I don't think Romo Dunze is going to be there at number 9. He might be, but I could see him going a little bit earlier than that. But I thought this was absolutely preposterous. I believe I called it psychotic on my tweet about it. You disagreed if the Chiefs could get Rome, correct?
Yes. Now, let me be 100% clear. You do not pay that to go get a tight end. You just don't. I don't care if Travis Kelce announces tomorrow he's retiring. You still don't give up that much for a tight end because the positional value is bad. Because as soon as you take a tight end in the top 10, you're already paying him like one of the top tight ends in the league. So you lose the value of a rookie contract. So in a sense, it's almost like you're signing. Yes, they'd be younger, but it's almost like you're giving up all that draft capital to sign a free agent, which so financially it's a bad move. And I just don't think the positional value is there. Now, I would do it for Romo Dunze. I really would. And it's because of a couple things. One, Romo Dunze is my favorite player in this draft class. Any position the entire draft class, he's my favorite. I don't necessarily think he's better. I have Marvin Harrison ranked above him, but just his the style of play, his personality, his work ethic, his competitiveness. I just love him. And I think, and I'm not the only one saying this, I think he might actually be the safest of the big three wide receivers in terms of, like, there's just almost no way he doesn't pan out. Like, he may not quite, if all three hit their absolute ceiling, he might be below those other two slightly, but his floor is so high. And I think if you paired him with Patrick Mahomes, I just don't see any way that guy's just not like a perennial Pro Bowler and putting up numbers that are just, you know, making it look like it was a great deal. So I'm a huge Rome fan. And then my second part of the argument is I totally, one, I don't think they need to do this or they have to do this. And like, that's the only way they can build a team and win and keep winning Super Bowls. But I think Brett Veach has proven he can fill holes with cheap free agents. So if you're down a few extra picks for the next couple of years, I trust him to patch those holes with smart, cheap free agent deals. And I'm confident enough, and I know maybe not everybody is, that Rome Odunze is going to become one of those special pillars alongside Mahomes. So like right now we have like Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones and yeah, Mahomes is the piece. But we've had these other like major important pieces that are a foundation of the first part of this dynasty. I think as soon as Rome Odunze walked in the door and got acclimated, he's going to that status. And as Kelce is phasing out, he's your new guy that's right there with him as one of those like key star player foundation pieces. Now, is that the only way for them to be successful? No, they proved they could trade away a piece like that in Tyreek Hill and rebuild with a cast of characters that wasn't as impressive as anything Tyreek was doing and still win Super Bowls. So again, it's not about they have to, but would I love it if they did? I would. And I wouldn't lose a minute of sleep over the draft picks that they gave up, because it would just be like, okay, I get Rome Odunze, plus I still have a top 100 pick. It's at the end of the third round. So you really got two top 100 picks still in this draft. And then next year, because of the Snead trade, you'd still have seven picks, including three in the top 100, because you've got that extra third. So yeah, you don't get the prime player in the first round. But honestly, I feel like this for the second year in a row, when you win the Super Bowl, that first round pick's not really a prime player. Like, I don't know that there's going to be, and you can always get lucky and hit, you know, you can get a prime time player in the fourth round, because it like L'Jarius Sneed like ended up being one of those. But a first round pick for the Chiefs does not warrant blue chip talent every year. We saw that last year. There just wasn't anybody there that was like a special player. And I'm hopeful that Felix will continue to develop. I look at the mocks now and some of the guys that we are taking at 32, I like them, but do I feel like maybe they're more like their actual value scouting wise is maybe a late or an early second, mid second round talent? Actually, I kind of do. So if I could get like a special player to pair with Patrick Mahomes for the next decade, I would give four draft picks for that and not bat an eye. So there's my case. That's my argument, but I'm willing to concede that, you know, Brett Veach may not be feeling that same way.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you make a really compelling argument for it. I want to see Patrick Mahomes play with these like bananas talented receivers again. Like it's a lot more fun for one than maybe the offense is sometimes now when they've got to dink and dunk the ball down the field a little bit. I'm one of these guys who I get annoyed when everybody gets really precious about draft picks. To me, draft picks are currency. And so I always get annoyed when people are like, well, you can't give up all those draft picks. And I'm like, why? If it's what they're there to get you're supposed to use them to get players to help you win. That's what they're for. So if you obviously, we would have given up 10 years worth of first round picks to get Patrick Mahomes if we knew what we know now, and nobody would have cared. I just wonder if because they have Patrick Mahomes, because he's so expensive, I think Brett Veach has had a little bit of a change in philosophy. earlier on, you know, the Frank Clark trade, like I think he was a little more, I'll go all in, let's get this chip. But now that you have the success that the Chiefs have had, and now that Mahomes has the contract that he has, I think Brett Veach has grown a little bit as a GM, but also understands, he's a really smart guy, that he has to be careful. And if he were to do that and get this guy, goes and gets Rome, and Rome is who everybody thinks he's going to be in the NFL, you're probably going to be able to keep winning, and it's probably not going to hurt you too much. If by some stroke of bad luck, he turns out to bust, you have really put yourself in a hole. And why? I think that's where, like, that's where the risk for me is, like, why did we do this when, you know, we just won two Super Bowls with, I saw somebody tweet this, I can't remember who it was, but they were like, your grandma's sewing circle. Like, you went with at wide receiver, right? Which I thought was really funny. Like, why did we do this? It feels like a move that desperate teams make. That teams that think they're one player away. We're one player away. You know, we're the Bills. Let's sign 50-year-old what's his face? Von Miller to a billion-dollar contract, because if we could just get that one player, we can beat Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think the Chiefs need to do that. They could go 4 years here without winning a Super Bowl, and it's totally fine because of what they've accomplished. And so to me, it's like, utilize those picks to get a good team, like a really good team. That's how they've won these two Super Bowls. They have a really good team, talented team, top to bottom. And it's funny because they're often compared to these other teams who have a lot of star power. And beyond, you know, Jones and Kelce and Mahomes, the Chiefs don't really have that. And it hasn't mattered. And it reminds me of those New England teams where, yes, they had Randy Moss for a little bit. And Wes Welker developed into a star playing with Tom Brady. But he wasn't when he got there from Miami. And so I feel like, no, keep building the trenches. Go get that left tackle that you need. Like, you want to trade up? Go get me a left tackle that you think can play for 10 years and protect Patrick Mahomes. Get that defensive tackle to finally have some, like, be able to do something against the run. You know, like, that's where I think the Chiefs maybe should go. Spread out that cost, because these rookies are just so cheap. They're so cheap, especially where the Chiefs are drafting. And if they can hit on them, I guess I'm a little bit worried about them getting an F when I know, like, one F when I know that they can get, like, straight Bs, and straight Bs might be all they need to keep winning Super Bowls at, like, a historic rate.
Yeah, and that's valid. And I would also say the number two guy on my list to trade up for after Rome Odunze would be Olu Fashanu, the offensive tackle from Penn State. I think he's a lights out pass protector that would work in Andy Reid's system, like, fantastic. I don't know that I'd go up to 8 or 9 for him like I would for Odunze, but if he slips into the teens and he wanted to pay a pretty steep price to go that high, I'd be all for going to get a left tackle too. I'd also be fine with trading. Like, if what happens in the first round is he trades back 10 picks and picks up some more and goes, we don't feel like there's any elite talent here at 32, so we're going to get a few more dart throws and a little more capital to I'm 100% fine with that too. I'm just not scared of the trade up. It just, yeah. And part of that is how confident I am in how good Rome Odunze is going to be. And I look, people have been 100% sure on prospects that then flopped. So, like, that could happen. But man, you watch his tape and it's just hard to see how. And so part of it's just my obsession with the player. I just think he's that fantastic. But again, I wouldn't say that the Chiefs need him. I just think if they did it, I'd be like, cool. I feel like we can check having a major weapon now for however, and we don't have to worry about Kelce. We don't have to worry about if Rice continues to go up or if he just kind of stays where he's at. We don't have to spend in free agency. Yes, 5 years from now, if Odunze is the player that I think he is, they'd have to pony up for a contract to extend him. But you got 5 years cost controlled. So I'd go, okay, so that's the plan. And now Veach has to execute how to fill in around that new plan. It wouldn't bother me at all. I'd be excited about the player and his potential. And yes, you got to kind of build the team a different way. But I feel like I have enough confidence in Brett Veach that as long as Patrick Mahomes is in the middle of that plan, he's shown the ability to find players later in the draft. He's shown the ability to find players in cheap free agent deals that can fill a role at a bargain price. And I'm feeling kind of cocky after three Super Bowls now. I'm like, they can make this work multiple different ways as long as they have kind of those core pieces in the middle to work around.
Yeah, man, it's like when you're at the blackjack table, or the, you know, playing roulette or playing craps, and you're on a little bit of a roll and you're betting money, you get a little house money. And so you get a little looser with your bets. I get it. And look, I'm not anti-trade up. I'm actually very pro-trade up. I think Brett Veach wants to get value out of these first round picks. You get that fifth year option. And I think he wanted to last year. And I just think he has a limit, I think. And he sort of alluded to this or kind of mentioned it when he was talking about the draft last year after the fact, and was kind of like, you know, we were interested and we didn't really have any trade partners. And he sort of said something, I can't remember the exact words, but he basically alluded to like once the certain players got into like the early 20s, they were comfortable moving up. And we saw that with when they moved up to get Trent McDuffie. I think that's the sweet spot for them when they're picking from the very back like that. I think they feel comfortable going up so far, but much higher than that. And they're maybe a little bit uncomfortable with how much they have to give up. But again, every year is different. They're going to look at their roster. They're going to look at their draft capital and determine, hey, we feel really good. If they feel really good about their roster for the next few years, maybe they do make a bolder move. And maybe, you know, look, I don't think Brett Veach is done when it comes to the wide receiver position. I saw what he did after the offensive line fell apart in the Super Bowl. He made damn sure that that offensive line was going to be solid moving forward. And I think he'll do the same for wide receivers. So I don't think Hollywood Brown is the only move here. And with the stuff going on with Rashee Rice, I think it's going to be okay, but he's going to miss some time. But now you've got a wild card there in terms of off-field behavior. And so we'll see. But I want to get to your article. That was the main reason I wanted to have you on, because it was just absolutely fantastic. If you guys want to know what I'm talking about, Lyle wrote his usual column on Monday. And it was his ultimate wide receiver tiers heading into the draft. And if you want to read it, it is pinned to my Twitter right now. I think I pinned it. Maybe I forgot, but it's my last tweet. It's there when I announced the show with Lyle. So go check it out. It's falling down a little bit on Arrowhead Addict right now. It's absolutely fantastic. In fact, I'll drop it in the chat to Richard, and he can probably even pop that in the description for you guys. I should have done that before the show. My bad. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like over here, like, I'll pin it to my Twitter when I'm like, I could just send it to Richard and he'll put it in the description for me. Well, so let's talk about this. So the ultimate wide receiver tiers for the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2024 draft is the headline of this article. And Lyle, you went through and painstakingly broke down, in your opinion, each group, like each tier group for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I just kind of wanted to go through like kind of each tier and have you talk me through maybe your favorite guy from that tier, any realistic players that you think the Chiefs should nab. So your first tier, no surprises here, Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, you have as number two. Malik Nabers, you have as number three in that first tier. A lot of people have Nabers as the number two guy in this draft. I've even heard some people say, hey, we like him better than Marvelous Marv, which I think they're nuts, but there you go. Talk me through these three. Obviously, you've already talked about Rome. Marvin Harrison Jr., probably one of the most pro-ready wide receivers to come out in a really long time, but like none of these guys are probably ending up on the Chiefs, correct?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, despite everything I just said about how much I would love it, I think it's a very, very, very small chance anything like that would happen. And I honestly think, like, if a team had Malik Nabers number one, I wouldn't be like, they're insane. Like, all three of these guys, to me, are top 10 caliber picks, period. And no, a lot of years, there's not even one wide receiver. I would put all of these guys ahead of like Drake London, Garrett Wilson from like that stack. That was a really strong wide receiver class too, with Olave and some of those guys. I like all three of them. So I have Nabers third, but I still love him. Like, I think he's fantastic. I already talked a lot about how Dunze is my favorite of them, just the watching him play. And I really, if you're a nerd about draft prospects and stuff. I can't recommend enough. Romo Dunze did a interview on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark and those a couple other guys he does that podcast with. It's fantastic. Like, just the guy's personality, his makeup and his work ethic. And it just sold me on him even more than the film already had. And then Marvin Harrison, like you said, I mean, he's my number one, just because I just don't see a way that guy isn't like a top 10 receiver almost right away. He's, like you said, so pro ready. You can tell his dad has drilled the little things into him, and then he's more of a physical freak than his dad was. So he's just great. I wish the only thing, if I was going to nitpick, and the reason he's not heads and tails above the other two for me, is for some reason, I don't feel like his freak athleticism always shows up in his separation. So he doesn't separate quite as well as I think Odunze and Neighbors do at times. But he just boxes the guys out. I mean, he's just so reliable. His hands are great. He gets the job done, even though he doesn't separate completely out of there. And so they're all three to me just like elite prospects. And then what I wrote in the piece is, then I've got just a giant gap. Like, I know a lot of people, and some of the people will probably not like me saying this, have Brian Thomas as kind of a tier unto his own that's fairly close to those top three. But that's not the case for me. I don't think there's another wide receiver in this class worthy of much of a trade up for. I think I put in the piece, I'd maybe, for my second tier guys, consider a trade up to jump in front of the Bills, just because you're talking like five picks and plus you're jumping in front of the Bills, which just makes it kind of all the better. And you know that they're probably wide receiver shopping. So I'd be fine with a small trade up, but I just think there's a massive gap after those top three.
Yeah, man. Look, I got to talk to Rome at the Super Bowl. He came by the table over at Radio Row. Really liked him a lot. We had a great, actually, there's a great clip of us talking to him about Dante Hall and the video game juke he did against the Broncos, where like two Broncos like ran into each other and he scored, and it looked like something you couldn't even do on Madden. It's a really great little conversation. Just check that out on the Arrowhead Addict YouTube. All right, let's get to your tier two now. Now this tier two for you, you titled this as wide receivers the Chiefs should target at the end of round one. So if they decide to go that way, you've got Oregon's Troy Franklin in there, Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, Ladd McConkey, who I've seen is a favorite among Chiefs fans. I was talking to my buddy Michael Collins, who's a big Georgia guy, works here with us at Fansided. He couldn't say enough good things about Ladd McConkey and how hard he works and how great of a pro he thinks he's going to be. Those are the three guys that you have there. Often seeing some of these guys mocked to the Chiefs. Do you think they're all first-round talent?
I do. I think they're all kind of that late first, early second type talent. And this is where I will just say, I know I'm against consensus here. I know there's some names that are not on this list that a lot of other people would be. We'll get to them in my next tier probably. And most people have Brian Thomas ahead of Troy Franklin. And a lot of people think Troy Franklin's too thin. My thoughts there is, I just feel like Troy Franklin gets open all over the field in different ways. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is elite as a deep threat, big body, fast, straight line guy. And he moves better than like an MVS. He does. That's why I think he's a first round talent, and I would love him as a Chief. But I'm a little worried that there's a chance that if Brian Thomas doesn't develop as a route runner, he gets locked into that MVS role where it's like you're just the track guy that just stretches the defense. And he'd be way better at it. Again, don't quote me as saying, oh, Graverson just says he's MVS. No, he'd be way better, and he'd make way more big plays, and he'd still be a fun piece. But if he gets locked into that role, that's where I start to go, well, is that a first-round pick then? So I think he has upside. I'm just not as – like, oh yeah, he's trade up to 15 for him, like you see some people as. And again, I wouldn't trade up for Troy Franklin either, but I just think Franklin could excel in a lot of different roles. He can be the vertical guy, but I also think with his releases and his kind of quick twitch route running, He gets open in different ways. And I think the Chiefs could both use him in the MVS role and kind of as I'm not saying he's at all like Tyreek Hill, but in that kind of Z wide receiver where they're motioning him around and having him run a variety of routes, I think he could fill both those roles because I feel like he creates separation enough that the not being super physical because he is so slender, most plays doesn't matter because he's not getting contact till after he's already got open and got the ball in his hands. So I'm bigger on Franklin than some people are. And then Ladd McConkey would be kind of my last guy I would consider in the first round, just because I think his floor is so high. I don't know that I think his ceiling is quite as high as Franklin is Thomas, but he just runs such good routes. He's got good hands. Again, he's not very big, but he's got enough speed and movement skills that you could kind of play him all over, similar to what I was just saying about Franklin. So if they stayed at 32 or did just a small, you know, if there's one of those three that they love the best and wanted to jump in front of Buffalo, I'd be good with that. In terms of even jumping up to like the low 20s or late teens, I just don't wait for round two and address a different position if you don't want one of those guys at the back of the first, because I just don't think the drop off from them to the second round guys is enough to warrant a trade up of any sort of significant cost.
Got it. Okay. That's fascinating because those are the guys that potentially could be there when the Chiefs pick. So make sure you want to read Lyle's actual breakdown of all of these wide receivers, and then you want to go and you want to watch tape on them if you want to get ready for Thursday. Okay, so let's go to tier three. These are the ones that you titled boomer bust wide receivers. These are four guys that you think have first round upside maybe, but there's some red flags or concerns that you would maybe say, hey, Brett, wait until like see if you can get these guys in round two. Xavier Leggett. Do they pronounce it like Maurice Leggett?
I think so, but honestly, I've listened to enough like draft content where I've heard them go multiple ways that now I'm doubting myself, but yeah. I think it's Leggett.
Yeah, they'll put out the pronunciation guide at the draft.
Right.
Number eight, you've got Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Speaking of small guys, 5'11", 165. I weighed 165 about 20 years ago. Keon Coleman out of Florida, not a light guy, 213, 6'3". And then Adonai Mitchell out of Texas, 6'2". Talk to us a little bit about these guys.
Yeah, so this is where you'll get some people that are very strong opinion for and against guys. If Xavier Leggett was 20 years old and had the exact season he just had as a sophomore and then was coming out, I think he's a first round pick. His tape is awesome. Like it's just awesome. And to me, like his tape is not like, if you just put his tape side by side with Brian Thomas Jr.'s, there's a lot of similarities there, but yet you see Leggett, you know, way lower on most draft lists. And it's because it was such a late breakout. And the history of the NFL says, if your breakout comes that late, you're going to bust because you're a 23-year-old picking on 18-year-olds. Like it just usually doesn't translate. Now, we don't need to go through the whole backstory. Other people have written about it. There's some legit reasons why maybe he got delayed in showing off in college, but it's a huge red flag. So the game tape, like if you put it on, it's so fun. Like the guy's just like, built like a tank and can catch really well. And his top speed, he just blows by SEC defenders, and SEC defenders are the closest thing in college that you'll get to the NFL. And he's just, you know, running by him. But the late breakout is a worry. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you've got Xavier Worthy, who's just like so small and he moves better than like, a Mecole Hardman or a John Ross or somebody that's like a little guy that just goes straight fast. Like he actually has some good change of direction and some route upside, but he's again, I have more concerns about his body. I mean, we just saw Tank Dell look fantastic last year as a little guy that size, but then he got hurt And it's like, I worry a little, like, can Xavier Worthy handle more than 4 or 5 touches a game? And those 4 or 5 may be electric, but it, again, is that worth the first round pick then? So that's where I'm kind of like, yeah, I like, it's tempting, but I don't know. And then Keon Coleman, I think, scares me because I think his strength is something Mahomes hasn't shown he wants to utilize. He's a jump ball guy. He doesn't create separation, but he's like, it doesn't matter. I'm bigger. I can jump higher. I've got longer arms and great hands. Just throw me the ball and I'll catch it, even if I'm covered. But Mahomes has chosen to scramble around and found the open guy instead of throwing a contested catch ball. Like, that just seems to be how he's wired. So I don't think he makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs, even though I think there's some, like, I mean, he'd be a fantastic red zone target. And then the guy I'm most off from, I think a lot of Chief fans on, is Adonai Mitchell, who I would concede probably has the 4th highest ceiling in this draft after the big 3. I'm just really worried about the number of plays where he doesn't go all out. And if you just watch his highlights and you just go, does he have good size? Yep, check. Does he have good speed? Yep, check. 40 was great. You can find plays where he dusts a guy. Does he run well? Routes well. Yep, you can find plays where he runs a great route, creates separation. Hands are good. It's just like, oh, he checks all the boxes. But if you watch a full Texas game, every snap, it's like 60, 70% of the plays, he's just kind of going through the motions, waiting for like, okay, this play, I'm the first read. I'm going to go all out and make a big play. And the rest of the time, he's just kind of like cashing it in, just like, ah, I'm not the first read. This one's going to Worthy, or this is a running play. I just don't know if Andy Reid, who doesn't like to play rookies, would even put that on the field if he does that in the NFL. I think you've got a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes that comes off his first and second read constantly. And if he's like, all right, I'm going to my third read and it's Mitchell, and he's like jogging with the cornerback right next to him, that's not going to fly with Pat. Pat's going to be like doing the hands up in the air, like kind of thing that we've seen him do when he's mad at the receivers. And maybe in the NFL, they get him to turn it on. But I just think the history of the NFL is littered with receivers that coaches went, we can fix this guy. And then they trade him for a late round pick 3 years later, because they're like, ah, this guy's a headache. I can't deal with it anymore. And so Mitchell could be a star, or he could be a guy that the team drafts him, trades away in 2 years because they're like, this isn't working, this is a headache. And so he just scares me. And so I see people like, oh, the Chiefs should trade up to pick 20 to get Mitchell. And I'm like, that would just scare me. Like, it could hit and it could be amazing and he could be a Pro Bowler for the next decade. But man, it could go bad too, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not going to work in Kansas City. I mean, if you're not working, I mean, Mahomes literally says to guys in the huddle, like, make sure you're working. Like, he knows sometimes he needs them to keep moving for him to do his thing and for them to make a play. And a lazy guy is not going to work out in Kansas City. Okay, tier 4, wide receivers is what you wrote. Wide receivers the Chiefs should target at the end of round 2. Some interesting names here. Javon Baker out of Central Florida. Ricky Pearsall out of Florida as well. Jalen McMillan out of Washington. We got the 2 Washington guys here. And then Jalen Polk out of Washington, who Polk is the guy, if you read Peter Schrager's mock draft this week, he had the Chiefs taking him at 32. You've got him at an end of round 2 guy. A lot of people do. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Schrager, who's obviously tapped in and hears things around NFL circles. Talk to me about these guys.
Yeah, honestly, I like these guys better than the tier we just went through. So the tier we just went through are guys with elite upside that scare me. These are the guys that I think maybe don't have as much elite upside, but man, I love them. Like, these are the guys I'm actually more excited for potentially for the Chiefs to land. As far as the Jalen Polk thing in the first round, look, Schrager's tapped in. He may be hearing things. That's higher than I would take him, but I like it. Like I said, I just got done. These are some of my favorite wide receivers in the draft. I also heard a report that said it was less about him hearing he's tied to KC and him hearing that he's actually maybe a more of a possibility to go in the first that people think. And so he slipped him in there at 32 to be like, I'm hearing this guy maybe has some first round buzz. So who knows? I mean, you don't know. But honestly, all four of those guys, if the Chiefs took him at 32 over like a Ladd McConkey, I'd go, man, well, okay, I may not have done that, but I wouldn't hate it as much as some people would. Because like I said, I'm huge on all of these guys. And I think all of them have an ability to play kind of different spots, different wide receiver spots, whether it's the X, the Z, out of the slot. Javon Baker is maybe my, after Rome Odunze, my favorite wide receiver in this draft. He's just so competitive and just like, that ball is mine. And doesn't run a fast 40, but yet was one of the best deep receivers in college football. His average depth of target, I think, is number two in this draft class. They were throwing him deep ball after deep ball because he would just like, he had enough moves to create some separation. And then he was just like, I'm going to out jump and out muscle the guy for the ball. So if you want a guy that's going to fight for the football, Javon Baker is the guy. And he is somebody that the Chiefs brought in for a top 30 visit. So I'm cautiously optimistic that they may be looking at him. Ricky Pearsall is another guy, fantastic route runner, fantastic hands. Think he could play inside, outside. I think Jalen McMillan is maybe one of the most underrated receivers in this draft class. He and Rome Odunze were battling to be Washington's number one receiver just in the 2022 college football season. And then in 2023, Rome takes a huge step forward and McMillan gets hurt and banged up and was held back by injuries. You go back and look in 22, their numbers were like side by side. They were almost equals in that offense. And people think of him as a slot only guy because that's where he played in Washington's offense. But honestly, I think he's got enough size, speed, route running that you could move him around. He could play some outside. I really, if you told me there was one guy outside the top 10 wide receivers taken that becomes a true NFL number one receiver, Jalen McMillan might actually be my sleeper pick for that. Just because I think he was overshadowed a little bit by Rome. And I think if Rome hadn't been there and he had been fully healthy this last year with Penix, I think he might have put up monster numbers. And then Jalen Polk is just super reliable, more physical than Jalen McMillan, a little more reliable hands. He's maybe not quite as dynamic, but he's just rock solid too. So I love all four of those guys. If the Chiefs go offensive line or a defensive player in round one and then walk away with one of those four in the second round, I'm feeling great about those guys. Any of those four as being the Chiefs' best wide receiver that they took in this draft class.
Yeah, and you know, it's really possible that one or more of those guys could be there. You've got a few quarterbacks that are expected to maybe go early in this one. I always love when there's a lot of quarterbacks in round one because it pushes better players back more to the Chiefs, because the Chiefs aren't going to be taking quarterback, obviously. And if some of the guys – look, there's usually a run on wide receivers at some point, and sometimes it happens in the 20s. So the Chiefs could find themselves out in the cold again on all of these guys. But – you never know. Sometimes things can flip a little bit. One of these guys could be there when the Chiefs take him. So if Ladd McConkey's gone, and that's a draft crush of yours, make sure you read what Lyle wrote about these guys because they might be even better. Okay, I want to do one more tier, and then I want to leave your last tier for folks to go and read because I want them to go and read the article. So we're going to do tier five, great slot prospects and developmental outside receivers. And you got a few guys here. On this one, Roman Wilson out of Michigan, 5'11", 185. Malik Washington out of Virginia, 5'8", but 191. Luke McCaffrey out of Rice, 6'1", 198. Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky, 5'11", 207. Brendan Rice out of USC. Some of you might know some of his family members, 6'2", 208. And Johnny Wilson out of Florida State, 6'6", 231, big boy. And yeah. Jermaine Burton out of Alabama, 6 feet, 196. Who stands out to you out of this group?
Well, the first four guys you read in that tier, the reason that they're in this tier and not the tier above with the last four guys is because I feel like they are strictly slot only guys. I do not think those guys can play outside. But if you wanted a guy you could just plug in the slot and just dump balls to, I think any of those four would be great. Some people are super high on Corley because his yards after the catch are so high. My only concern with him is I see a lot of overlap with him and how they use Rashee Rice. So while I like Malachi Corley, he's down a couple spots on my list specifically for the Chiefs, just because I don't know that I see enough difference in use between him and Rashee Rice. And then Brendan Rice, I think, is a guy that could develop into a really solid outside receiver. He's just not flashy. You would think being Jerry Rice's son, he would be kind of dynamic or something. But he's really just kind of a guy that's reliable. He's decent speed, decent size, decent routes, decent hands. There's not a lot of weaknesses, but there's not a lot of flash there. And then Johnny Wilson is the guy that's just like massive. He's almost a little, I don't know how many people have been watching long enough, but I think you'll be with me here. If you remember Plaxico Burress, he's almost that kind of build, that huge, long guy. I see him a little different than some people. Some people think he'll be an outside guy. I'm just not sure he separates well enough, but I think he could be really good as a big slot. Like if you just wanted a guy to line up in the slot and box out linebackers and safeties and nickelbacks, I think he could be a great check down guy. I just don't see a lot of long-term outside receiver upside with him, but there's some people that do. And then the last guy in that tier, Jermaine Burton, actually talent-wise belongs a whole tier ahead of that. But apparently there are just so many character red flags with that guy. And with what's going on with Rashee Rice, I just don't know. Like, I can't see the Chiefs' top wide receiver being a guy that they take, being a guy with these massive character concerns. I think that would maybe be a little too much smoke even for them, who has some, you know, they're not opposed to occasionally taking a gamble on a guy. But I think right now in the wide receiver room, it's probably better to stay away from somebody like that.
Yeah, and the Chiefs just don't seem to care. They just don't seem to be fazed by the character concerns. If they think the player can help, I don't know if they think it's we can fix this guy, but they're willing to take those risks. And to be honest, it's paid off for them more often than it hasn't. Your last tier, which again, I want you guys to go and read this. So we're not going to break it down with Lyle, but of course, it's wide receivers to target on day three of the draft. This piece is really fantastic. He breaks down all of these guys in even more detail than we have here. The title is The Ultimate Wide Receiver Tiers for the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2024 Draft. Google that in Arrowhead Addict. Check the link in the description if Richard was able to drop that in there. It's just such a fantastic read, Lyle. You're such a great resource for Chiefs fans for insight all year long at Arrowhead Addict on Mondays after the games. You always make me feel a little bit better usually after the Chiefs put up a stinker of a performance. And this just around draft time, I think, is when you really shine. I think with you and Price now, we've just got some really terrific draft coverage over at Arrowhead Addict.
Yeah, he's been churning out a lot of great stuff. Definitely check him out, too, if you haven't.
Yeah. All right, man. So, look, before I let you go, I got to ask you, what's your prediction for Thursday? Who's it going to be, or what position is it going to be? Do they trade up? Do they trade out? What's going to happen?
I think Veach, after last year, and again, this is not a knock on Felix. I think Felix has a chance to develop. I think he's going to feel like, man, I got to make sure I go up and get my guy this year. Like, I feel like, now, I don't know that it'll be a Roma Dunze type trade up, but I think it's going to be an offensive trade up for an offensive tackle. Maybe not all the way up to for Olu Fashanu, who's the guy I would like, but I think that's the biggest position of need. I think Brett's going to want to go get his man after maybe being a little dissatisfied with what they were able to do with the first round pick last year. I think this year he's going to maybe be a little bit more aggressive. And if nobody will work with him, then I wouldn't be surprised if it's a trade out. So I would say either a small trade up for an offensive tackle because they want to make sure they get the guy that they like best before pick 32, or if somebody wants to pick up a fifth-year option on a Penix or a Bo Nix and move into pick 32 and they slide back into early second round, I think that would probably be my next guess.
I could live with that, man. I want the tackle situation solidified. I think if you can work out the penalty issues, fine. Juwan Taylor's fine over there at right tackle. And yes, he's expensive, but if Brett Veach can get a rookie on a rookie deal at left tackle, he can sort of afford to pay Juwan Taylor for a little while at right, save money on left tackle, and then flip-flop that a little bit later on down the road. Lyle Graverson, longtime contributor, the ultimate contributor at arrowheadaddict.com. We got to get out of here, everybody. Lyle, thank you so much for joining me, as always. Guys, we're going to be back. Oh, by the way, I see in the chat my guy Crayfish from back in the day. Appreciate you.
I remember you, Crayfish.
Yeah, yeah. We know some of us old-timers. He's going by his name, which is Chris now. Good to see you, brother. Appreciate your support and friendship over the years. We got to get out of here. It's been a long show. We will be here next week with our regular slated shows on Tuesday and Wednesday. The Thursday show, my show, will not happen at 4 o'clock because that's the night of the NFL draft. So we'll be going live just shortly before the draft. I'm not exactly sure when, maybe about 30 minutes before things kick off. And we're going to be with you the whole way through and just pray to God that the Chiefs don't trade out at 32. And we sit there all night waiting, and it'll be the most disappointing anticlimactic show we've ever done. But we're really looking forward to that. We will see you guys next week. So get your tape watching in this weekend, because we're ready for prime time next week. Thank you to producer Richard for getting us set up. My name is Patrick Allen. Thank you to Lyle Graverson. We'll see you next week. But until then, as always, go Chiefs.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.